Okay, back with Mark Weber talking about the plight of Bishop Williamson, who apparently is now waiting to find out if he's going to be extradited to Germany to possibly end up in Mannheim prison, saying hello to Ernst Zundel,
among others.
This
is a very remarkable feature of this, in that not only are these remarks considered outrageous or offensive, that people have to be forced out of countries, but that, as we've discussed many times, Jeff, they're criminal. And Bishop Williamson's interview on Swedish television is, the German authorities say, a violation of German law, even though the remarks were made on Swedish television, not in Germany, made in English, but the mere fact that they're available on the Internet is, for German law, a violation of German for German authorities, a violation of German law. This is outrageous, and as I've said many times, a very dangerous precedent. Imagine if other countries were to apply the same standard. Imagine, for example, if China were to say it has the right to punish people for making remarks calling for the independence of Tibet in the United States or in some other country. Everybody would consider it outrageous.
Of course.
But the world, including the Vatican, the German government, and by its silence, the American government, cooperates in this thought control when it comes to this new dogma, the dogma of the Holocaust.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, that puts the Vatican in a very awkward position because Pope Benedict is from Germany. The bishops in Germany are virtually compelled to denounce the appointment of this or the lifting of the excommunication of this bishop because in some of these countries merely expressing doubt is already criminal. A couple of years ago in France, a member of the European Parliament, during a press interview, news conference, he merely said, "Well, I don't know about the Holocaust. I think it should be open for scientists to discuss. I don't really have an opinion."
That's all it took.
He was punished for those remarks because he's expressing doubt. And this is the bizarre thing. He's obliged to say, "I believe." He cannot merely be neutral. This is really astonishing. It's worse than the case, for example, it's something Stalinist.
Really. I've never seen, even in the old Soviet Union, I don't believe this kind of subjugation went on. There were people who were, essentially minority opposition. They were there, and they did complain, they did criticize, they did doubt the government. That happened. In Germany, it happened all the time. There were minority groups, minority parties. But this is really unprecedented in my understanding of modern and contemporary and maybe even historic facts of human societal development, evolution and fall, as I've been able to determine. I've never seen anything like this. It's crazy.
Well, the important thing, I think, Jeff, to keep in mind is this isn't about opinion that might be considered outrageous or because he's right or wrong. It's an expression of power. It's expression of a power. The power of Israel and the organized Jewish community that was able to enforce these laws, to mount this huge propaganda campaign, to make Holocaust so-called studies obligatory in schools, and to impose laws.
But you can't study it in terms of an honest, philosophical, academic, scientific, forensic examination of it. You can study it in terms of the dogma.
Right, it's presented as in a way that one would present a religious dogma.
Right.
It's not presented in a historical context that one really compares. Instead, we're told over and over, it's unique. It's different than any other event.
Because these are chosen people, and they're better than anybody else. Well, and what happened to them makes this a special issue.
Well, as I've said many times, when you say that one group of people deserves special consideration, you're saying in effect that this group of people is superior, that their death or their suffering is more important than that of other people. And that's already a form of bigotry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Bigoted against your own race or your own culture in many ways.
Well, it's really against everybody, against all other people.
That's right.
It's like saying, "Thou shalt have no Holocaust before me, saith the Lord." You have to bow down to this one totem, this one icon. This is unbelievable. Now, the time will come, the day will come in the future when people will look back on this, and they'll understand exactly what the truth of what's being said here. This is an expression of power, this immense power that in our cultural life, in our how we look at history, and above all, in our political life, is able to have this grip on our society, even at the expense of other people, not only their views, but even their interests.
Right. It's a grip that goes far beyond a hold on our society. It's a hold on our entire nation. It's a hold on most Western nations. It's a grip on much of the world, and that's the agenda, unfortunately, of the Zionist machine. Now, these are not all Jews. Many Jews reject Zionism. They want nothing to do with it. They
Right.
understand that they're no better than anyone else, that we're all in this thing together. So they're the ones who suffer. They're the ones who are actually put up as sacrificial offerings by the Zionists because it makes their position easier for them to tend and maintain, of being chosen and the ultimate victims of modern contemporary history.
I want to make a point that you've made before, but I think it's worth making again.
Hold on, Mark, if you would. Hold that thought.
Okay.
And we'll do that right after this commercial timeout at the bottom of the hour. When future generations look back on this as having occurred in the year 2009, 2010, they probably won't believe it. This is almost a Dark Ages kind of a thing. It's bizarre. It's like the Inquisition. If you didn't toe the line 100%, you died. You were tortured until you confessed, and you were killed anyway. Or you were just killed. It's amazing. We'll be right back. Okay, right back with Mark Weber of IHR.org. All right, Mark, go ahead, please.
I've said it many times before, Jeff, but I think it's worth emphasizing that when we say this, when we talk about this power and this grip on our world and our society, it doesn't mean that we wish ill of people based on who they are and who they're born.
Of course not.
It's a very important distinction, and it's the distinction that I wanted to get into by citing the New Testament. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Bishop Williamson is a supporter of traditional Catholicism, and he's very alarmed, as are many people, by the way in which modern Christianity has turned its back on what used to be strongly held views and assumptions by Christians. And one of the examples of that is how this dynamic between the Jewish, organized Jewish community and the early apostles is laid out even in the New Testament, and especially in the Acts of the Apostles, where we see over and over again this conflict between Paul and the early apostles and the Pharisees and the organized Jewish community. And the Bible is full of that kind of thing. Now, what's interesting here is that the Vatican in recent years, and Christians in general, are trying to placate and get along with the same sort of organized power that just will not be placated, which insists upon its way no matter what. And the Acts of the Apostles are very instructive in that way, because there's this continual conflict between St. Paul, who's himself of Jewish background, by the way, and who is preaching the gospel to other Jews, first and foremost, because he thinks this is an expression of love and affection for this people. But the organized Jewish community, over and over, is organizing and plotting to destroy him and to even kill him. And just one example of this is this is from the Acts chapter 23, verse 12. It said, when it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath, neither to eat nor drink till he had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who made this conspiracy, and they went to the chief priests and elders and said, we have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. You, therefore, along with the council, give notice now to the tribune to bring him down to you as though you were going to determine his case more exactly, and we are ready to kill him before he comes near. And again, over and over, this power, which is so intolerant of Paul even preaching the message, that they stir up riots to try to silence him. They try to get the Roman authorities to take him into custody and to kill him on their behalf, over and over. And here we're seeing, now again, the parallels are not exact, but Jewish leaders are insisting that the Vatican silence and shut down a bishop for expressing a deviant view on this subject of history, even though it's not a matter that really the Catholic Church should be involved in. But this is an example of this power that has been laid out, not only that we're seeing now unfolding, but also is laid out even in the New Testament, and which is part of a pattern that repeats itself time and time again down through the ages.
Well, okay. Now, this is all, again, I just look at the totality of what's going on here, and this is supposed to be the new millennium, and 2009, and we're dealing with this kind of stuff. I mean, here, it's almost like burning witches. If you went to a witch, and a witch said, "No, I'm not a witch," they'd burn her. If she said, "Yes, I'm a witch," they'd burn her anyway. I mean, yeah. I have called for a scientific, academic, forensic analysis and study, and an honest investigation of what happened in World War II to put this so-called Holocaust denial, which is really questioning or having a different viewpoint, to rest once and for all. Let's find out what really happened. And no cover-up, no fake Warren Commission inquiry. Let's look at it really for what it was. But you'll never hear that.
Well, Jeff,
people won't even respond to it on the other side.
This isn't about what happened in history.
This is about power.
A religiously held view. This is about something that's held with the fervor of a religion.
Yeah.
And facts and calm discourse have no place in such an environment.
True. Yeah, absolutely true. So if he ends up in Germany, how is he going to get an honest defense? We saw what happened to Ernst Zundel. His defense attorney, Sylvia Stoltz, where is she right now, ladies and gentlemen, for simply having gone in and practiced her profession of a defense counsel, a defense attorney in Germany, and defended Ernst Zundel to the best of her ability? What happened to her?
Right,
Mark,
right.
Tell us.
Well, she's in prison now herself, yes. No, that's
defending her client. That's
her
how
client.
Obscene the situation in Germany is right now. That's how terribly crushed this once really remarkable people have become for generations now under the yoke of world Zionism and their whole culture of the Holocaust religion.
Well, fortunately, much of the world understands this. Now, there's a growing gap between this power and what more and more people around the world, because
I concur with you.
The exercise of this power, the way it's manipulated, the way it's used, is so obvious, and it's such an obvious, more and more obviously a double standard that much of the world sees this. And particularly, this is a problem for our country, the United States of America, because Israel carries out policy, and Israel is dedicated to principles that are so crassly in contradiction to the principles we proclaim for our own country and other countries, that this makes a mockery of
racism,
our pretenses.
Apartheid, mass murder, open mass murder, although this country participates in that actually quite well, as the Iraqis and Afghanis and others. Israel is no more a democracy than the Soviet Union was, maybe even less so.
As I said many times, I mean, Israel is the only country in the world, and I mean in the world, that has an illegal nuclear arms arsenal that occupies the land of neighbors seized in contrary to international law,
right,
that is holding more than 2 million people in oppression against their will in violation of United Nations Security Council resolutions and has been doing so for decades.
Mm-hmm.
All of that taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Made possible with the support of the American people and the American government and our taxpayers.
That's the pot. It's the support. Money. $1 trillion since 1948.
But the incredible... See, the American public has already paid a high price for this. And we are paying every year, with each passing year, an ever higher price. Because, as I've laid out, and many others have stressed in books and writings and so forth, we would not even have been involved in this horrendous war in Iraq if it had not been for this same power, which is now turned against Bishop Richard Williamson.
Absolutely. All right, back in just a minute with Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review, and we'll talk about other things that are relevant to this bizarre latest effort by World Organized Jewry to subvert and imprison anyone who criticizes their view of history. Okay, back with Mark Weber. So, Mark, what happens in Germany when something like this comes along? Does the German media cover it any degree at all? I mean, fairly?
It's covered. It's covered, but not, of course, in the same way that you might in other places. I mean, a good example is when David Irving was arrested in Austria several years ago on the basis of supposedly for violating, for making remarks 16 years earlier. Imagine that, 16 years earlier. And he was brought to court in Vienna and sentenced there to 3 years in prison. Now, he was let out earlier. But the interesting thing is that the arrest of Irving all over the world prompted a huge outpouring of editorial comments, opinions, and so forth, overwhelmingly critical of these laws and of the arrest of Irving, who was, had been, of course, a best-selling historian. Now, I mean, this the world opinion is pretty strong. It's harder and harder to defend these laws, and even many Jews are embarrassed by the sort of blatant double standard that these laws represent. Now, however, having said that, Germany is very vulnerable because the Holocaust is used as a bludgeon to intimidate Germany, and Germany is really dependent upon the goodwill of the United States, in this country, of course, the organized Jewish community is more powerful than any other single group or power factor in America. This is manifest, of course, in so many ways. But I think something is really changing, not only in Germany but all over the world, because increasingly it's not merely that public opinion is shifting. The public opinion is critical of this, but the interests of the rest of the world are not in accord with this power. And this is most obvious in the case of the Iraq War and possibly a war with Iran. A war with Iran, just like the Iraq War, benefited no one except, in a perverse sort of way, Israel. It was ultimately not in anyone's real... It's something nobody really wanted except Israel. And a war against Iran would be similar. The whole world is against such a thing. And the new Obama administration is going to face a real showdown, especially when the new Israeli prime minister, whoever he is going to be under even more pressure to live up to the rhetoric and attack Iran. So, anyway, there's something shifting all over, and it also represents the end of the post-war world and the collapse or the crisis of our economy, which is also one more aspect of all of this. So the world is really changing, and we're seeing a real shift in power in the world. Now, I mean, in Germany, yes, it's covered. These things are covered. But the attitude of most Germans is, even though there's some embarrassment about it, it's a feeling that it's the price that Germans have to pay for being in the modern world, so to speak. It's the price that has – it's one more punishment for having lost the Second World War. And there's a lot of course, unhappiness with this. And manifest in some, I mean, German public opinion is against German troops in Afghanistan, for example. But they do that because the United States wants them there, and it's considered part of the obligation that Germany incurred from the end of the Second World War. Anyway, this is now up for grabs, though, because the end of the Soviet Union makes it very difficult to justify the whole NATO. North Atlantic Treaty Organization was supposedly set up to oppose the Soviet Union. It now has no really clear-cut objective, no real clear purpose. And Germany's part of this. Right. But anyway, this is part of a kind of reassessment. And I again, it'll become more and more obvious that the Williamson case and so forth is going to become more and more obviously ridiculous, I think, and hypocritical with the passage of years.
As far as this country is concerned, we have not one but two so-called anti-hate laws now in the Congress. Every year, the same thing. They reintroduce these things. They push them through. President Obama, has, of course, said he'll sign them gleefully if they make it to his desk. What do these so-called anti-hate laws mean in this country, in your estimation and your overview?
You know, at the same time that our government wants to crack down on hate speech or on deviations from the law and so forth, America is more and more a third world country. That means things just don't work. It doesn't enforce its laws in general as much as it used to.
Right.
Look, at the same time that we're supposedly all worried about national security, we have millions of people who are in this country illegally. It's a kind of schizophrenia. America is still trying to uphold standards left over from a time that
35 million possibly in this country illegally.
Well, That's one of the problems. Nobody knows for sure.
Right.
And again, this is part of the schizophrenia. I suspect if the government did try to bring in such hate laws, America is increasingly such an undisciplined country that it would be very difficult to enforce those laws without enraging an awful lot of people. If so-called hate laws were passed, an awful lot of people would be put in prison. Not just somebody like you or me or so forth, but a lot of others, because mm-hmm. Americans are increasingly unhappy, angry,
That's right.
distrustful.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just the other week, the Anti-Defamation League, this major Jewish Zionist organization, was complaining about the vehemence and fury of the demonstrations during the Israeli invasion mm-hmm. of the Gaza Strip.
Right.
And the rhetoric is becoming more and more vociferous because more and more people are outraged, are furious.
It's still not letting those poor people have food, medical supplies, good drinkable water, and the rest of it. This is genocide, and the world knows it, as you said, Mark. Most of the world understands what's going on now.
One thing, Jeff, that's very encouraging to me is that the outrage over the Gaza assault a few weeks ago
right.
was greater, far greater, than
yeah.
was the Israeli invasion of Lebanon in 2006, even though far more people were killed.
Oh, yeah.
That
True.
Invasion yeah. caused much more destruction. But it shows, I think, that the world is more and more outraged by this.
I think they're fed up by this. This is an outlaw nation. This nation has rejected and mocked over 50 United Nations resolutions. It tells
right.
this country how to vote on the Security Council so it's not held accountable for its behavior. It is
right.
a rogue thermonuclear power. It refuses to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It does what it wants. I have a U.S. Air Force white paper on my site that says, in no uncertain terms, that Zionist Israel has used thermonuclear blackmail to control the foreign policy at least of this country for perhaps decades. It goes on and on. This
right.
is a rogue, outlaw, racist, apartheid, criminal nation. That's what it is.
Well, the astonishing thing, of course, Jeff, is our own complicity in this. Our Congress during the Gaza invasion passed a resolution.
All but five again, supported it.
Yeah. With almost no exception, supporting it, more supportive of what Israel mm-hmm. does than even what our own government does.
Yeah, I know.
This is incredible.
Well,
it really shows a kind of a level of corruption and of being bought and paid for that really Americans see with each passing month, I think, more and more clearly.
Bought, paid for, blackmailed, bribed, and threatened. Let's tell it like it is.
Well, and the Bishop Williamson case that started out this program is just one more example. And this is the point I want to try to leave listeners with. It's an expression of power. Power used against the interests, really, of everyone, of all of us. Power that is wrong and must be opposed. It's not just whether defending Williamson in this one case, Bishop Williamson, or this particular thing. It's this use of this illicit power in this high-handed, hypocritical way against the interests of really everyone. That's what really is at the root of this and should be highlighted and opposed.
And oppose now, ladies and gentlemen, or you won't have the chance to oppose anything soon. I hope you saw the embedded, incredible health provisions in the so-called stimulus package, which require your doctor to immediately report to the federal bureaucracy that will be created. Whatever you come into his office to be treated for, his diagnosis and his method of treatment, and if the feds don't agree or approve of it, they're going to hold that doctor accountable.
It's crazy.
Again,
Jeff, even though the government passes these laws, remember, there's just more and more just scoffing at laws across in our country. It's just unbelievable how bad the situation has become. In Los Angeles County, the L.A. Times reported a few days ago, there are 2.2 million people on the public dole.
Right.
2.2 million.
In one county, folks.
In one county, for heaven's sake. It can't go on like this. It just cannot go on like this.
Great, it won't go on like this.
We've already beginning to see the bill coming due here, but the response of our elected officials is to up the bill and pass it on to another generation or into the future. But really what they're doing, and I think Americans understand that, is trying to do something in the hope that it works because
right.
they've run out of other options.
I agree.
No more rabbits to pull out of this hat.
None at all. So what can the average individual listening in do about all this, Mark?
Well, I believe, Jeff, that what everybody ought to do is give support to programs like the Jeff Rentz Program, to give support to and let other people know about the Institute for Historical Review and what we're doing, because, as it were, the fix is in as far as regular politics is concerned. And unless and until that changes, right now, I think our main job, our main goal must be educational, and especially reaching younger people who must be the leaders of the future if we're to have a future. I think that's our main goal right now. Because trying to work with it, the system is essentially so corrupted right now that we first of all have to just re-examine and realign our thinking on some very basic things about our history and about where we are in the world and what and how much we can really expect from this government.
I concur, and if our young people are not somehow reached, the control over them is so insidiously nearly dominant now that
it's very difficult because they've been raised with a whole. Our young people today are indoctrinated in our schools and taught.
Brainwashed, programmed, conditioned.
A series of values, and it's reinforcement, television. This is what we're trying to overcome, and it's a great challenge.
Medicated into subservience on top of all that. Mark, thank you again for all you do, and give my best to everybody at the IHR, please.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for having me on again. It's always a pleasure, and good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Good night. Mr. Mark Weber of IHR.org, really incredible materials they have there, books that you'll never find anywhere else that are just absolutely mind-boggling, and researched from A to Z, like you have never seen books researched before. Back in a couple of minutes as we continue with hour number 3. Glad you're along tonight. I'm Jeff Rentz, and don't forget to visit our website at Rentz.com. It's your website. It's up there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, with news, real news, from all over the planet.